to my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So I'm going to basically explain the principle behind marriage. I'm not going to explain all the different rituals that you'll see here. But the principle behind marriage is a vow or a promise. And it's a vow or a promise of loyalty. Nowadays, they have this saying, promises are meant to be broken. I'm sure you've all heard of that saying before. And certainly when people have contracts, they always have fine print in any contract to enable the parties to get out of the contract. So we're not interested in those sorts of contracts or those sorts of promises. We're interested in unbroken promises and loyalty. And sometimes in the Vedic literature, it's called chastity or sati. And that's loyalty or chastity is meant to be demonstrated or manifested by the groom as well as the bride. In other words, through thick and thin, happiness and distress, pleasure and pain, sounds like the Bhagavad Gita. Through all these difficulties and good times and bad times, the bride and groom remain together, remain loyal, and assist each other. Okay, yeah, no mobile phones, please. Assist each other in attaining the highest goal of life. You know, you may ask, what is the highest goal of life? The highest goal of life is to serve God, and at the end of this lifetime, to live with God. And I think that's mentioned in every single religion, bona fide religion in the world, that people should serve God and live with God eternally. So in that sense, if the bride and the groom, and I know they will, the bride and groom remain loyal to each other throughout this life, they will actually have an eternal marriage. Many times in songs such as the one you just heard, they talk about eternal love, right? And so, you know, everybody cries when they hear songs about eternal love, eternal marriage, eternal loyalty. But only in the spiritual context can someone have eternal love. Because in the material context, when this lifetime is over, guess what happens? People separate. It's like an ocean where two pieces of seaweed float together for some time. And then the two pieces float apart. But in the spiritual plane, or on the spiritual plane, two people can remain together forever and ever and ever, from lifetime to lifetime, and ultimately in the spiritual abode of God, if they cooperate with each other in achieving the ultimate goal, which is pure love of God, through the process of religion or spiritual life. And of course, in the Krishna Conscious Society, the primary process is called Harinam. Everyone's heard of that before? Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam, kalo nisteva, nisteva, nisteva gantiranyata. The primary process is chanting the Lord's names and glorifying the Lord. So this is the most important thing for this couple to do. So as far as the loyalty between each other, I'd like to tell maybe one or two stories that illustrate how loyal the wife and the husband should be to each other. One is a story I tell practically at all marriages. It's a famous story from the Vedic literature. It's called the story of Savitri and Satyavan. Some of you have heard this story before. So once upon a time, as all stories go, because you start in the beginning, there was a king, and his name was Ashvapati. In Sanskrit, that name means one who is the controller, leader, or master of many horses. Nowadays, the king would be Karpati. You know, like you understand, or the leader of many cars, or airplane pati, or something like that. But not in those days, in the old days, king was known by how many horses he had. So it was Ashvapati. So this Ashvapati, he wanted a son. And so naturally he prayed to one of the administrators of the universe. His name was Lord Brahma. In the Vedic conception, for those of you who are from the Western world, we have this conception that there's different people who work under God. Just like you'll have a prime minister and he'll have his cabinet, right? So God is like the prime minister. He's even more, of course. But he's like the prime minister of everybody, of the whole universe, or all the universes. And the people who work under him are called demigods. That basically means they're cabinet members. So there was one cabinet member. His name was Lord Brahma. Just a name. And this Ashwapati was praying to Lord Brahma, the cabinet member, that he would have a son. In those days, the main reason for having a son, for a king at least, was that he'd have someone to take over the kingdom when he died, or when he took sannyas, when he renounced the world. And so, because it was the law of primogeniture, the firstborn son would usually take over the kingdom. So what happened is he prayed to him, and he kept praying and kept praying, but eventually a daughter was born. Now, he was all right with that. And in the Indian or Vedic conception, it's very important for the father to find a husband for his daughter. So this Ashwapati, he looked all around for a husband for his daughter, and his daughter was extremely beautiful. I mean, more beautiful than any Bollywood star or actress you've ever seen. In fact, if anyone saw her, they would faint. Her name was Savitri. So they couldn't find anyone qualified for her. They looked all around, all the universe, because he also had a lot of spaceships, too. So he looked all around, and he couldn't find anyone, and he said to his daughter, "I guess it's up to you. You have to find someone." And, of course, she didn't go out herself in her own car driving around, or her own horse driving around. She went with the king's soldiers and horses, and they accompanied her all around. And she found someone who she thought would be appropriate for her. And that person's name was Satyavan. But there were several problems with Satyavan. One problem was he was also a king's son. He was a prince. But his father had been kicked out of his kingdom. His father's name was Jumatsena. And his father had been kicked out of his kingdom because he was blind. So the prime minister actually conspired against Jumatsena, kicked him out, and Jumatsena was living in the woods with his family, with his son, and with his wife. So that was one problem. Another problem was pointed out by this great religious leader, Narada Muni, and the other problem was that this Satyavan, he was supposed to die in 1 year. So in other words, even if she married him, then he would be dead in 1 year. She'd be a widow in 1 year. So these two problems were pointed out to Savitri, remember the girl, the beautiful girl. And she said, "I'm determined. I'm in love with him." So there's the first evidence of loyalty. "I will marry him regardless. I will go with him. Even if he dies, I will go with him at the same time." That's so much loyalty and chastity. So what happened is she went to live with her husband in the forest. And when it came time for him to die, about 3 days before, she fasted, did some austerities, prayed to God. And on the very day when he was supposed to die, she went with him into the forest. He was chopping some firewood, and he had a heart attack. And he died, and his head was on his wife's lap. And basically, as you all know, some of you know, that the soul is different from the body, right? Isn't that true, Ramanuja? When I last checked. The soul is different from the body, so the body gets old, and the soul doesn't get old. The soul is not withered by the wind, burnt by fire, any of these other things. The soul is eternally young. So the soul was taken out of the body by the person responsible. His name is Yamaraj, person responsible for transferring souls from one body to another. There's a whole mechanism of that. So as the soul was being taken out of the body, she was able to see that. Normally people can't see that. But if they're very chaste, loyal, devoted, religious, they can actually see things like that. And so she saw the soul was being taken away, and she started following the person in Yamaraj who took her husband's soul away. And they walked approximately 7 steps. And as you'll see in this marriage, there's a particular ceremony called Sapta Padi Grama, in which the husband and wife walk 7 steps with each other. Now, when you walk 7 steps with someone, you become their friend. So be careful who you walk 7 steps with. If you don't like someone, stop it at 1 or 2. So they walked 7 steps together, and this person, Yamaraj, she said to Savitri, "Please go back." And she said, "We've walked 7 steps. You're my friend. You can't neglect me now." And he said, all right. And they had some philosophical discussion, and she was able to answer his questions very nicely. And he was very pleased. So he was one of these great administrators or administrators of the universe, so he could do a lot of things that we can't do. So she asked him, can you give me a benediction? And he said, sure, I'll give you a benediction, but you can't have your husband back. There's no way. That's his karma. He's finished. It was on his palm. It's in the stars. There's nothing we can do about it. And she said, that's all right. I just want one thing from you. I want my father-in-law to have his sight back. Remember Jumat Sena? He was blind. He was kicked out of his kingdom. So I want him to have his sight back. And so Yamaraj said, okay, he can have his sight back. So they walked a few more steps. Yamaraj was pleased with her. He said, oh, ask for another benediction. No way you're having this guy go back with you. And she said, that's all right. I just want my father-in-law to have his kingdom back. Okay, done. They walked again, another benediction, same thing, you can't have your husband back. And she said, no, I just want my father, that's Ashvapati, to have 100 sons. Remember, Ashvapati wanted a son, he got a daughter. So Yamaraj said, okay. And by this time, he was getting pretty fed up with her. So they walked a few more steps, and he said, one final benediction, but remember, no getting your husband back. And so she said, no, there's no problem. She said, because he was so upset with her, he was a little confused at this point. She really, what did it, frighten him out by this point? So what happens is she said, I just want to have 100 sons by my husband. And he said, okay, have 100 sons, then you can leave. But you can't have your husband back. And she said, well, guess what? You just blessed me with 100 sons. And can't have it without my husband because it was with my husband. So give him back. And this person, Yamaraj, said, you beat me. You can have him back. So that's one story of how powerful loyalty and chastity, dedication, sticking to one promises is. That there's even another story, which I'm not going to tell the whole story, of how a lady was able to stop the rising of the sun in the morning because her husband was endangered. She actually was so powerful. It said a chaste lady is so powerful she can stop the rising of the sun or the moon. And one other final story, it's related to the Tithi today. Tithi means the day it is in the lunar calendar. So today is a very auspicious day to have a marriage. It's the confirmed. See, it's a conch. That's very auspicious for that to happen. Krishna's confirming. It's a very auspicious day to have a marriage because it is the appearance day of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami today. Hari Bol, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami Ki Jai. Now, I'll explain who Gadadhar Pandit Goswami is. In Krishna's pastimes, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami is Srimati Radharani. Pretty good, isn't it? And Srimati Radharani is inseparable from Krishna. And Krishna is inseparable from Srimati Radharani. And so in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, that's Krishna who appeared 500 years ago, Srimati Radharani appeared as Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, and Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, and Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, they were classmates. And Lord Chaitanya always had a very close relationship with Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. When they were young, he would sometimes tease Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. He would say, why are you worshipping Krishna? And Gadadhar Pandit Goswami would become bewildered. And then Lord Chaitanya would say, in the future I will also become a great devotee, so even the demigods will worship me. So in this way, they had a very sweet, loving relationship. Later on, there's one other story before I get to later on. When they were very young, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was feeling so much love for Krishna, because he is also Krishna, but in the root of Srimati Radharani, that he said to Gadadhar, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And as we know, God, Krishna, is in the heart. So Gadadhar Pandit Goswami said, Krishna's in your heart, so Lord Chaitanya proceeded to sort of like tear his skin apart. He said, I want to see Krishna. Just like that story in the Ramayana where you have Hanuman, he shows that he has Sita and Ram in his heart. In the same way, Lord Chaitanya was going to show how he had Krishna in his heart, and he is Krishna. So Gadadhar Pandit Goswami stopped him. He held his hands and said, no, don't do that. That is not appropriate. And Lord Chaitanya's mother, Sachi Mata, said, Gadadhar, you should always stay with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the one story I wanted to tell was later on in their pastimes, when Lord Chaitanya was living in Jagannath Puri. When Lord Chaitanya was in Jagannath Puri, Gadadhar Pandit was with him too. And Gadadhar Pandit had taken a vow or promise to serve these deities called the Toto Gopinath deities in Jagannath Puri. But Lord Chaitanya was leaving Jagannath Puri, and Gadadhar Pandit was torn between his service to the deity and his love for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in order to keep his connection, that is even the least the external connection with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he left his service to the deities and followed Lord Chaitanya out of Jagannath Puri. Of course, eventually Lord Chaitanya ordered him back to serve the deities. So you can see this great love and attachment between the Lord and his devotees in their various incarnations and appearances. And so we are requesting or praying that this couple will have this similar mood towards each other, to be very attached and loyal and assist each other and never think, just like Mother Sita Devi, never thought of anyone else other than Lord Ram. In so many ways she was tested by Ravan, and then when she was in the ashram of Valmiki Muni. But to never think of anyone else other than your wife or your husband in that particular context of that particular relationship, and to stay with each other eternally, serving Krishna, assisting each other in the process of Krishna consciousness, guiding, assisting, helping, and in this way you're both assured eternal love and eternal life in Krishna consciousness. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. You can continue with the marriage ceremony.